like that little man that laid at the gate called Beautiful. All those years and all those people went into the temple and they stepped right over top of him to go into the temple and to get their blessing. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's time for the mentality of the church to change.
Go to Numbers 32. It's one of those times, you know, it's end of the year. And I'll just be honest with you. You know, every time I started to go to the scriptures and prepare, you know, the enemy would say, preach these folks something this morning that will make them feel good. Preach one of those positive messages that are just going to make everybody get happy and get excited. But I could not get away from what I felt like the Lord was telling me to speak. And there's some things I haven't even shared with my wife, but you know, I was studying last night, and I went to bed with this word in my spirit. You know, I was in study for quite some time and went to bed with this word in my spirit. And I practically dreamed all night on the same thing. You know, it's not too often that you're dreaming, then you wake up, you go back to sleep, and you just resume. I don't know about you, but that don't happen that often with me. Usually my dreams are just here and there and crazy, you know, those, what we call them, pizza dreams and bologna sandwich dream or whatever it was that you ate before you went to bed, Steve. But I just kept, every time I'd wake up, and it was almost to the point like I was excited to go back to sleep because I knew it was going to pick up. Okay, here's scene two or three or four. All the way up until I woke up this morning at 6:45. I had the clock set for 7 o'clock, and at 6:45 I was awake, and I had to get up and just begin to meditate on what the Lord was speaking to me. But everything that I dreamed, James, was right in line with what I felt the Lord wanted me to speak today. And really the gist of it is, we are, as a church, and I'm not just speaking of our Father's house, but this local ministry, but I feel like the church as a whole is living way beneath their means. Amen? And we're not living in the full blessing that God wants us to live in. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we are the ones responsible for that. God's not responsible. God poured it all out. He owns it all. And he says, it's all yours. Amen? But it's up to us to take it. It's time to stop complaining about other people and point the finger where the finger goes. It's time to stop complaining about the government. Amen? Come on now. It's time to point the finger where the finger lies. There's a responsibility and a mandate that's placed upon the church of Jesus Christ, and nobody else can take that responsibility but us. Amen? Christ came and he conquered. And you know, everything's been spoken this morning has went right hand in hand with what I'm going to preach to you. What Francis spoke at the beginning of the service and other things that have been spoken throughout this service, what Jill spoke about the two-edged sword and about the Word of God. God came. Listen, Jesus came. He done everything he was supposed to do. He died. He arose on the third day. He ascended back to the Father. And he said, now, here's the keys. And he pitched us the keys. And he said, you drive. But the problem is we've parked the car. Numbers chapter 32. I sent Justin and Brandon a text message this morning, and I said, I'm preaching a challenge, and told them I'd miss those guys today, and I said, I'm preaching a challenging word today. Pray that the word will come forth, the delivery will be come forth with power, but also with love. Amen? So can we stand together? I want you to stand together with me this morning. Stretch your legs. Numbers 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. Everybody say a lot. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dihon and Jazer and Nimrath and Heshbon, Eliath, Shabam and Nebo and Beon. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of God and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over, everybody say over, into the land which the Lord has given them. Let's all pray. Stretch your hand this way, please, and just pray for the blessing on the word. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing that's in this room. And Father, we just thank you for your word. And we ask now for your blessing on the word. We ask, God, that you would let it speak to us and challenge us. Let it change us by the power of the anointing in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, and you can be seated. Thank you so much. Now, what I want to talk about is where we are. I think, you know, and the title of this message, you know, it's pretty interesting because when I put down the title, I put down, let me camp on this season. And James, and I looked at it later and I thought, you know, I didn't spell that right. I was supposed to call that, let me camp on this side. But then I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, no, that's what it is. Let people want to camp in this season. Let me camp here. Let me camp in this place. And I'm going to talk to you about what I think where we are. We're, you know, we're right. Listen, and I think this is a word for 2014. We are right there ready to step into a new season. We are right there ready to step into a new era, if you will. Amen. But it's up to us as to whether or not we step into that. Amen. It's ours for the taking. We're in the church. I'm just going ahead. I'm going to speak some positive things to you right now and give you a chance just to amen this word and get behind your pastor this morning. But I believe that we're in the church's greatest age. We have more now than we ever have had before, but we're doing less. Oh, Jesus, help me preach this word. We have the best. Can I just preach you the truth this morning? We have the best music today that we've ever had in the history of the church. We have the best CDs. We have the best DVDs. We have the best books. We have the greatest prophecies and all of these things that are spoken concerning the church. So I ask you, with all of these resources at our hand, why isn't the church going forward? And why aren't we seeing the community saved? And why aren't we seeing more people healed? Why aren't we seeing drug addicts set free? Why aren't we seeing people set free and delivered by the power in the hand of God? Oh, y'all got to help me. You said you wanted a challenging word. We're in the greatest age, but the greatest age of the church also brings about the greatest battle. The greatest age brings about the greatest battle because the enemy will bring a battle where the church is taking spoil. This should tell us what's available. And Sister Frances, you were so right on when you was talking about the darkness that you went through and what God was showing you in the darkness that the church world is facing. How many knows what that's like? How many's ever went through some darkness? But you go through dark times, but when you get through dark times, when you get on the other side, you can see how good God is and what God has brought you through. The battle, oftentimes, the battle is because the enemy knows something is up and he is fighting the church because the church, I'm telling you folks, the greatest hour of the church is on the horizon. If you'll speak it and you'll claim it and you'll proclaim it in Jesus' name and put the enemy in his place, it's going to come to fruition. Amen. Come on. Yeah, give him praise. Come on. Somebody give him praise in his house. Come on. Give him praise for his word. What we have here in Numbers chapter 32, a complete conquest had been made of the country east of the Jordan. Randy, they had already taken that territory. It was taken. Amen? And this was comprised, as our scripture says, of the land of Jazar. Now, I want you to hear something. This was a fertile land. It was a blessed land. And because, you know, it had great pastures, beautiful fields. You know, you can study history and you can find, William, that today it's still considered, you know, shepherds still want to take their flocks there. They still want, it's a blessed land. It's a fertile land. And here it was. So what they said was, let us stop here and let us cultivate what we already have, but don't ask us to go over Jordan. Let us hang out here. Oh, what does it mean to go over Jordan? Crossing over Jordan requires me to follow the word of God. Amen. They crossed Jordan at God's word. So crossing over Jordan requires me to follow the word of God. It requires me to follow the leading of the Spirit. Amen. What was the instruction? Let the Levites take the Ark of the Covenant. And when they step down into the water, it's symbolic of following the leading of the Spirit. You know, too many people today don't want to follow the leading of the Spirit. People say, I've got this. I can do this. We can have church with our hands tied behind our backs. Amen. But we need to come to the place. If we're going to cross Jordan and we're going to take Canaan, we got to know how to follow the leading of the Spirit. Oh, y'all going to help your pastor preach now. There's somebody praying for me. Come on, let me have the prayer warriors. Let me have the spiritual. Let me have the leaders of the church. Come on, y'all got to pray. Let's pray right now. Intercede. It requires some things of us. You know, but people want to just do their own thing. Let the pastor go over. Let the leaders go over. And I'll just hang out here and you can bring me something back. Amen? I'll just hang out here and you can go get something. You know, get the worship team, go get something and bring it back for us. But we'll just hang out here and if you're able to bring something back, we'll get on board with you. Oh, come on now. I told you this is going to be a challenging word. You know what they were doing? They were settling. We have large flocks and herds, so just let me bring the pastor what I already have. Does that not sound like the American church of today? We are blessed. We have so much. You know, how many had just had a great Christmas? How many had plenty of food to eat at Christmas? You know, how many's got plenty of clothes to wear? How many's got a roof over your head? How many's got heat in your home? How many's got all kinds of shoes to wear? How many sometimes you go into your closet and you've got clothes in your closet that you haven't worn in forever? Amen. Just let me enjoy what I have. Just let me keep what I have. Now look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Moses said to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? What they had asked here, and I'm just going to lay it out on the line, what they had asked was an act of unbelief and an act of being self-centered and an attempt to escape the dangers of warfare and live in ease. Oh, I don't know if y'all heard that or not. It was selfish. Don't make me go to battle. Don't put me in danger. I don't want to go out on the front line. I don't want to cross Jordan. I just want to live in ease. This kind of attitude will steer you away from the original purpose that God intended for you, because it causes you to settle. And God says, this is what I have for you. This is what I have for the church, but you're settling for this on this side of the river. Amen. Amen. Amos 6:1 says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And they don't have their guard up. You know, and folks, we're settling just because it's comfortable. Oh, y'all got to help me. I remember as a boy, I don't know, I may have shared this story here before, but I don't think I've ever shared it in this context. But I remember as a boy, Judy, when we were kids, we always, you know, we grew up, you know, we always had food to eat. But you know, we couldn't go eat like we do now. We ate a lot of fried potatoes and soup beans and cornbread and those kinds of things. You know? Somebody said, sounds pretty good. We raised a big garden. We had chickens, gathered eggs. Every year we'd raise a pig. We'd get a little pig. You know, Dad would go get a little pig, Greg, and we had a little pen for that pig, and we had a trough, you know, and a chute. How many knows what I'm talking about? And I'd go feed that pig every day, you know, all through the summer, Calvin. And then as soon as the cold weather came, Curtis, we'd go out there and get that pig that was now a hog. And Dad would shoot that hog with the .22 rifle right between the eyes. And then we would scrape the hog And you guys know that, I mean, we've rendered the lard and made cracklings. Somebody's ever smelled a house just where you cook lard all day? You know, that's all those meat skins are, is just fat. But you know, Dad didn't like to waste anything, Jeff. He just saved it all. You know, but I remember as a boy feeding that pig that slop. I mean, knows what slop is. You know, and we'd go to the Kearns store. Now I'm going somewhere. We'd go to the Kearns bakery, and Dad had a pickup truck with a camper on it. And we'd pull up there, and he'd back up there, and he would get from the bakery a load of pig bread. I mean, you ever heard of pig bread? It's what we call pig bread. What's pig bread, Pastor? Pig bread is the bread they take off the shelf because it's a day or two old. They take it back to the bakery, the Kearns, or wherever. That's where we went at that time in Harlan. And we would go pick up all that bread, and he'd fill the truck completely full of pig bread. We'd take that bread home, and then when we got ready to feed the pig, we'd put bread in there with the feed and just mix it all up together and to fatten up that hog for the winter. We had a room in our house, the back room of our house, And we always kept it closed off. We heated with coal and wood, and we'd keep that back room closed off. So we brought all that pig bread, and we'd put it in that bedroom and close the door. Well, guess what? Us kids would go in there, into that room, and start digging through that pig bread, and you could find cakes that were only a day or two old that they had taken off the shelf, and we'd get those things out. Some of y'all are just saying, I cannot imagine doing that. Where's Donna at? I know she, Jeff, I've been around Donna. Donna could never do that. Some people just couldn't do that. But, you know, we didn't have raspberry zingers. We didn't have ho-hos and Twinkies and those things. I mean, it was a treat. You know, I never had heard of Little Debbie. We didn't have those things. So we dig those cakes out, and we'd put those things back, and we would eat those cakes. You know, we felt, hey, if it don't have green on it, it's good. Amen. If it's got a little bit of green, it's just penicillin. But you see, when saying this word, that just all came back to my remembrance. And what I heard the Lord say was, the church is going to the back room and they're digging out those old cakes. Hey, we're digging out those outdated blessings, those outdated revelations, last year's revival and 10 years ago revival. And we're digging out those old cakes. Amen. Things that's already outdated, things that's already came and gone. And we're just eating that cake. Amen. That's outdated, when God's saying, I've got something fresh for you that's been baked in the ovens of God, something that's got power and anointing in it. Something's going to change your life. Ooh, oh, glory. Somebody needs to give him praise. I said, somebody needs to give him praise. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to give him praise. It's about following the Lord fully or wholeheartedly. God is looking for somebody. Dwayne, put that next verse up. Numbers 14:24. God is looking for somebody with another spirit. Somebody say another spirit. I told you at the beginning of the service, it's time to go past being normal, get past just being normal. God's looking for somebody with another spirit. My servant Caleb, he had another spirit. Amen. Amen. Y'all know the story. The 10 spies brought back a bad report. Caleb had a different spirit. Are you one of those 10 that says, "Oh, woe is me," and sits and watches CNN all day long and Fox News and whatever, and says, "Oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket," and you know it probably is, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to change anything for you just to sit and speak those things. Nothing's going to change till the church of the living God, the pillar, the sound of the truth, is going to rise up and say, "Wait just a minute. Hey, the devil can go to hell if he wants to because he's going there." Come on now. I'm just preaching you to the truth this morning, but it's time for the church to say, "My family's not going. My kids ain't going." We need somebody with another spirit to rise up and say, "Thus says the word of the Lord." This word, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm about to blow up here. But this word is true. This word is live. I still believe in everything that's written in these pages. Hey, glory, glory, glory. Here's where we are. Here's where we are. Statistics say, oh, now I'm just going to preach you the truth. Are you ready for the truth? Somebody say, "Give us the truth." Statistics say that 3.8%, no more than 5% of Christians tithe. 3.8%, but we expect God to rebuke the devourer. We expect all nations to call us blessed. We don't obey the word of God in its entirety, but then we expect God to pour out his spirit on us. All right, I'm going to hit somebody else. Greg, you were all over it when you got up here and said, "We've got two events coming up." 20% of church members volunteer. That's statistically. We got 3.8% tithing. We got 20% volunteering. But we expect the community to be evangelized. Are y'all with me? A recent study showed that most church-going Christians don't read the Bible every day. Research found that 90% of churchgoers agree with this statement. "I desire to please and honor Jesus in all I do," but only 19% read the Bible every day. About 25% read the Bible a few times a week. 14% say they read the Bible once a week. 22% once a month. Wow. And 18% rarely or never read this book. But we say we want to grow spiritually. We say, I'm talking about somebody with another spirit, guys. I'm talking about somebody that says, I'm going to take the kingdom of darkness. Darkness is not going to reign and rule in my home. Are you with me? We say we want to grow spiritually. But the word, listen, the word, everybody say the word. The word has an impact in every area of your spiritual growth. We are supposed to be, speaking the word. But we're not even reading the word. You know what? The battle's for the power of the word. This thing that just came up in the news recently with the Robertson guy, with Phil Robertson. You know, we had Duck Dynasty Wednesday here back when Justin first came, and a bunch of the kids dressed up like, you know, that television show. And y'all seen this thing in the news with Phil Robertson and a statement he made, which I haven't read the entire article. I've just seen what's been documented, what's been put out there. But you know, really, from what I saw, he spoke the word. He quoted the word. Now listen to me. What's the battle from the kingdom of darkness? You got to see this. When God came here, when he put Adam here, he gave it all to Adam. And then Satan came on the scene and the kingdom of darkness showed up and took back what God had gave. Jesus Christ came as a man in the flesh and he took back what Satan had took. Amen. And gave it back to man. And the battle right now is against the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God here, heaven on earth. That's what the battle's about. It's not about a television show. It's about this book right here. You can say anything you want to say. Just don't quote this book. Don't speak what thus says the word of Almighty God. Oh, you can talk. I'm about to preach now. You can talk about Islam all you want. You can talk about Buddha all you want. But don't preach the word of God. But I'm telling you, God has challenged me. He's challenged me, folks, to preach it harder than I've ever preached it. This is the unadulterated living word of Almighty God. And it will stand when the world's on fire. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. It is God's word. That's what the enemy hates. That's why the attack came against our brother Phil Robertson, because of the word of God. Amen. Somebody with another spirit. Hallelujah. We should be shutting the mouth of the enemy. How many of you ever seen that movie? I can't think of it. We do it all the time. You know, here's what you're doing, and here's what you need to do. I mean, y'all seen that, haven't you? If you got kids, you've seen it. Master of disguise. Here's what you're doing, and here's what you need to do. You know, the enemy's caused us to do this, and he's doing this. It's time for him to do that and for us to do this. It's time for us to put him in his place. Oh, somebody's got to help me preach. I've got this underlined in my notes. You can follow Christ and see Christianity as your source of truth. But if that truth does not saturate your thoughts, your goals, and actions, you are not fully engaging the truth. Amen? Are you with me? So if we're going to see the land, we have to follow the Lord fully. Oh, y'all got to help me, man. I'm telling you, this is... We live in a drive-through world. We've got drive-through restaurants, drive-through banks. Do you know you can even do drive-through weddings now? Drive-through funeral homes. Everything's drive-through. Everything's at a quick pace. Give me something fast. Don't take my time. Don't. Oh. It's all drive-through. Amen? We want others to bake our bread, but we don't want to put anything in the oven. Amen. Don't ask me to put anything in the oven. Let me grab something quick. Let me grab something quick that'll hold me over till next week. Oh, Jesus. Come on, worship team. Sing us three or four good songs to make us feel good. Get up, Pastor. Pastor Odie or Pastor Justin and preach us a good feel-good word. And I'll be all right till next week when God is saying there needs to be some commitment to the Word of God. There needs to be some commitment to prayer. There needs to be some commitment to fasting. Amen. And when you come in here, you bring something in here with you. And don't be dependent on somebody else just to bake the bread for you. You know, we just want to warm something up real quick. Oh, I've had a rough week. I've had a busy week. Now it's 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Throw on some clothes. I hope they have something cooked up for me. Are y'all going to love me after this is over? Let me grab something quick. Hold me over to next week and I'm good to go. It's the mentality of our nation. We've become the United States of the easy. And just like these guys here, we want to rest on our laurels with no commitment. Amen? Just let me rest on what's already been done. But don't challenge me to do anything else. Amen? Where's Daniel? Come up here, man, and help me out. Can I have just a few more minutes? Can I tell you, and I don't want you to miss what I'm getting ready to tell you because I think it's important. The success of today's church is being incorrectly gauged. I'm going to say that again. The success of today's church is being incorrectly gauged. If we can build bigger churches and have bigger congregations and have more money in the bank and have better musicians, better instruments, better sound, better all of these things, then we're successful. I was a part of a church one time. I was part of the leadership several years ago. Church was dying spiritually. Dying spiritually. Oh, I'm going to tell you the truth, folks. I'm going to preach you the truth. Dying spiritually. Nothing happening. No fire of God. No anointing. People leaving daily. Leaving daily. And I felt a check in my spirit, Curtis. And as a leader of that church, I came into our leadership meeting and I said, listen, we've got troubles. We've got problems. We're in trouble. People are leaving the church. Something's going to have to give. Something's going to have to change. And I had one of the church leaders. Thank God for our church leaders. But I had one of the church leaders that looked at me and he laid down a bank statement on the desk and he said, you see how much money we've got in the bank. Don't tell me this church is not doing good when it was dying on the bone and nobody getting saved, nobody getting healed, nobody getting delivered. Folks, it's not about how much money we've got in the bank. It's not about how many people's gracing the doors. It's about what's happening in the spirit. What's going on in our community? What's going on with those prostitutes that are walking up and down 66 out here unchanged? But let me get into the house of God. You know what? You know, it's just like that little man that laid at the gate called Beautiful. Y'all just gotta bear with me because I gotta get this message out. It's like that little man that laid at the gate called Beautiful. All those years and all those people went into the temple and they stepped right over top of him to go into the temple and to get their blessing. Amen. Folks, I'm gonna tell you something. It's time for the mentality of the church to change. It's not about get. You know, what's the church is gauged by today is material prosperity. Can I preach the truth? I'm going to anyway. Success. And listen, I'll be the first to stand in this pulpit and say I believe God wants us to prosper. God don't want us to live like paupers. He don't. That ain't God's will. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not God's total plan is to get you saved and to make you wealthy. It's not about success. Oh, it's not about this success gospel. The church of today is so caught up on material prosperity and not on the power of God. Look at all this stuff we have. Now, if you read, I don't have time to read it. Go back in chapter 31 of our text and read how many animals they had. Karen, they were so blessed. Those tribes, they had livestock. They had donkeys. They had sheep. at all these things. And they're like, look at all we have. Let us camp here. Just don't ask us to go over there. This is a good place right here. It's good enough. You know, look at all this stuff we have. Let's just sit down here on this side of the river and enjoy it. When God is saying, all I have is yours. You are joint heirs with Christ. But we've sold our birthright for a pot of beans. We've sold out. Amen? There's so much more. How many of there's more to the birthright than what we're getting? If you really believe that, say amen. We're not truly enjoying what God wants us to have. You know what? We're the prodigal that never left home. Oh, y'all got to hear what I'm saying. How many remembers the little story earlier about the pig bread? The prodigal son was eating with the pigs. Hey, the other brother was living in the father's house and still eating with the pigs. Because what did his dad say? He said, son, all I've got is yours. Everything. And your word, you know, are you seeing that? We're the prodigal that's never left home. You know, he said, all I have is yours. Amen? So don't tell me that you know, that this is what God, we can't look and say, look what we have. You know, look at our bank account. Look at, we're increased with goods. Look at, let's do this here. Revelation 3. I'll try to close here. Revelation 3. I'll try to finish this up. Look what it says. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know what the word spew is? It's the word, it's the Greek word emeo. E-M-E-O. You know what it means? It means to vomit. Just plain. So basically Jesus was saying, lukewarm Christians make me vomit. I can't make it no plainer than that. I think the message probably says that, don't it? I think it does. Because you say, oh, why is that? Why are we lukewarm? Because you say I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Don't you know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked? Amen? Keep going. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire. You may be rich, white raiment, you may be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eyesight that you may see. Amen? So you know, we get so caught up, the church of the day is so caught up on this material thing, material prosperity. And again, we're blessed and thank God for it. But there's so much more. Can somebody say there's more? Are you with me? If you're with me, say there's more. But you see, you got to understand, and in closing, Karen, These guys wanted to stay on this side of the river, and they didn't want no challenge to go to the other side. It's about compromise. Compromise wants you to just be normal. Normal never changes a community. Normal never shapes history. Don't ask me to get into water that I have to swim in. The Jordan. It overflowed its banks at harvest. Amen? God wanted everybody in Canaan, but these guys wanted to stay on that side. Don't ask me to do anything more than what I'm doing now. Don't ask me to read my Bible. Don't ask me to fast and pray. Don't ask me to give of myself. And don't ask me for commitment. Just let me stay comfortable. Are y'all with me? I'm trying to finish. Verse 7, last verse. Moses said, wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? When we get comfortable, we want others around us to do the same. Pull up a chair. Just pull up a chair. In fact, there was one place in the Old Testament where they said, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. Just let us go back. Just quit. Just go back. Oh, Jesus. God's speaking to somebody here. You're playing around. It's time to go forward. Somebody say, go forward. And you may have to go through that wilderness. I said, you may have to go. You don't hear this much from the pulpit, do you? But, Pastor, I like it here in this green field. Just let my flocks graze here. You know, and we let the smallest of things keep us away from church. I'm trying to be good. The enemy wants me to shut up right now, but I've got just a little more word in me. We'll let a snowflake keep us out of church and being at church at 10:30 on Sunday morning, but there'll be a blizzard come Monday and we'll show up at work. Don't you know it's snowing out? Gotta go to work. And we get there at 7 o'clock while it's still dark and we can't see the roads. And church don't start till... Oh. We want a Canaan without a wilderness. We want anointing without sacrifice. Can I tell you, Israel had a wilderness. Elijah had a wilderness. David had a wilderness. Jesus had a wilderness. Oh, this ain't popular preaching. Jesus had a wilderness. And John the Baptist was a voice crying out in the wilderness. We go through things. It's reality. Amen? Let's all stand. It's about not compromising. Now, I want to give you something encouraging. Everybody give me just your full attention. Just another minute here. I really believe we're on the brink of crossing over. Amen? Is anybody with me on that? But you know, the problem is people want to remain comfortable. They want that promise, but they want to just stay where they are and set up on the wrong side of the river. And I got this underlined in my notes. You got to hear this if you didn't hear nothing else. We want to be away from the curse, but we don't want to do what's necessary to receive the blessing. Just keep me away from the curse. Amen? Just let me be out of Egypt, but don't let me have to do what's necessary to get into Canaan. Just let me just stay out of Egypt. Just let me sit on my wedding dress and wait for the bridegroom to come. God had blessed the children of Israel with much cattle. And they said, we have enough to sustain us. Amen. So I ask you, are you going to sit here while your brethren go to war? There's countries where they're going to war, folks, spiritually. And America is spoiled. We are spoiled. Amen. Are you going to compromise and not go all in with God? Curtis, Noah built a boat when it never had rained. David took a rock and went up against a 9-foot-tall giant. And Mary, a virgin, says, I'm going to have a baby. Who's the daddy? The Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we've compromised. You know, nobody wants to stand up and say what thus says the word of God. You know what the disciples said? They sold everything they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet. God added to the church daily. Amen. In closing, we want something phenomenal on the wrong side of the river. When God says, if you want phenomenal, cross over. Amen. Signs shall follow them which believe.